Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. 10-3, your final score. Royals drop the opener of this six-game homestand, this three-game series with the Atlanta Braves. Phone lines are open for you. If you were one of the more than 20,000 to turn out on this gorgeous Friday night, I'd love to hear from you, especially those of you making your first trek back to the K. I'd love to hear the stories, who you were with, what stood out to you, what you tried at the ballpark that maybe you hadn't been able to taste in years previous. Maybe you had one of the new menu items here at the K. I always love the experience stories because, Lord knows, tonight the baseball experience was subpar. 10-3, the final score. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not upset for some reason. Maybe you are, and again, the phone lines are open for you. Let me know. Tell me about it. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. That's also the text line number. If you just want to shoot me a text with your thoughts on the game, 913-586-7610. Yeah, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm ready to move on from this one. Hey, oh, Vern, you're a homer. Oh, Vern, of course. What are we upset about tonight? Well, there actually is one thing I'm a little disappointed by. I'll explain that in a moment. But look, tonight's game is fairly simple. And no, this isn't going to be me going on and gushing about how great the Braves are. No, I'm not going to go on and on about how their 1-2-3 in the lineup might be the best in all of baseball. Ronald Acuna, Matt Olson, Austin Riley. That might be the best 1-2-3 in all of Major League Baseball. But no. It's not Atlanta's perceived greatness that has me so at ease following this 7-run loss that drops the Royals' record to 4-10, which is now tied for the second worst record in all of Major League Baseball. You would think I would be more upset after this game, and maybe you are. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. But I just don't have a direction. I don't have an individual to lob my anger at. Because if we're being honest, you lay this loss at the feet of Brady Singer. But is there anyone listening out there that is going to act as if this is the real Brady Singer? Is there anyone out there angry at Brady Singer? Gives up 8 runs, a career-high 8 runs in 5 innings of work. Gives up 4 in the first, 3 in the second. Royals are down 7-1 after the first 2 innings. And yet, when Brady climbs the hill, Wednesday afternoon against the Texas Rangers, when we see Brady Singer again, I'm fully expecting him to go out and throw 6 strong against that Rangers offense. Shoot. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady goes 7 strong. That being said, hang this L on Brady Singer and then we move on. This is why I'm so ready and eager to flush this one and get ready for tomorrow's game. I'm not going to yell about Brady Singer. 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Is this another game that you want to get fired up about the offense? Not me. Not when MJ Melendez is on base 3 times and scores a pair of runs. Not when Bobby Witt Jr. has his second straight 3-hit game. Not when Vinny Pasquantino reaches base safely for his 10th straight start. Just like I'm not going to freak out that Brady Singer had the rare clunker. What, do you want to sit here and get mad that Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino and Kyle Isbell combined to go 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position? I didn't show up today expecting Edward Olivares or Kyle Isbell to lead you to victory. If the Royals were going to win this opener against a very good starting pitcher in Charlie Morton and a well above average offense, if the Royals were going to win this game, it was going to take a studly performance from Brady Singer and a big night from MJ, from Bobby, from Vinny, and from Salvi. You were going to need all that to come together. But here's what I'll give the Royals. Those four members of the core, those five members of this core, Brady, Bobby, Salvi, MJ, Vinny, those five, I thought, all performed well. I can't say well, but for Brady Singer to give up 7 runs before he's recorded the second out in the second inning and still give this team 5 on a night where your performance can only be described as a clunker, 5 innings, saving the bullpen, I'll take it. MJ, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, I can't be frustrated with their performance tonight. Okay, Edward Olivares, yeah, there were a few things I was bothered by. Isbell had some big opportunities. I mentioned Salvi had a few chances. And they put themselves in position to mount a comeback. Bases loaded, 1 out in the third, even though you're down 6 runs, you had a chance there. Bases loaded, 1 out in the 5th inning, down 5 runs, but you had a chance. No rolling over and dying. They continue to pass the baton. You didn't see MJ and Bobby. You didn't see Vinny and Salvi trying to swing for the fences. Solid approach offensively. You didn't see Brady crumble out there on the mound. He still gave you 5. So, to be honest with you, I have nothing to whine about, complain about, scream about. I'm just ready to turn the page. How about you, Kansas City? Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's start off with Brody leaving Kauffman Stadium. Brody, you're hitting leadoff following this 10-3 loss to the Atlanta Braves. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I just got 2 quick things. First, you're totally right about the bases loaded in the 5th. The whole stadium was electric. You were just waiting for that big hit there. And I think if we would have got it there, I think this would have been a whole different game. We would have been within striking distance, even if we just hit a single there. Mm-hmm. It's a close game, and it just takes one more big hit. The second thing is I was a little disappointed that we couldn't even make it a little closer. We've all seen the horrible attendance numbers. And tonight we had a great crowd, a beautiful night, and a good environment. And we just kind of, we couldn't get back within distance. I think that discourages people from coming out. And I thought it was, I just enjoyed sitting out there and watching a great baseball game. But that's all I've got. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brody. Hey, I'm sure all of the 20,186 that came out tonight enjoyed the experience, maybe didn't enjoy the performance of their favorite ball club. But yeah, gorgeous night, great entertainment. To be honest with you guys, the only thing that bothered me tonight, the only moment in which I became agitated, was your fault. Was the 20,000 plus in attendance. The only thing that disappointed me or angered me tonight was you guys booing Ronald Acuna Jr.'s celebration there in the 6th inning. Now, I'm not saying you need to come to your feet and applaud this superstar hitting a 438-foot tank off of Jose Quas in the 6th. I'm not saying you needed to applaud him. You could boo him the moment that thing left his bat. But when he does his little stutter step, Euro step around third base and then looks to the dugout and says he's too small, you guys need to pick a lane. Do we want ball players to have fun and celebrate, or do we want to keep it old school? Like, were you rooting for Josh Staumont, or excuse me, Amir Garrett, Did you want Amir Garrett to hit Ronald Acuna Jr.? Because he came back to the dish in the eighth inning and you guys were still booing the superstar outfielder for the Braves. I got no problem with you booing him, but it didn't seem like you were booing the home run more so than the post-home run celebration. And that, to me, is kind of fuddy-duddy. Maybe that's just me. That's the only thing that made me mad tonight. I'm like, what are we doing? We got a bunch of... Oh, look, I'm an old fuddy-duddy when it comes to this game. But I enjoy seeing the personality. Because MJ Melendez has a personality. Vinny Pasquantino has a personality. Drew Waters has a personality. And when they are on a winning team and come through in a big way and hit a big home run, I want them celebrating. It's not disrespectful. Ronald Acuna didn't stare down Jose Quas or look at the Royals' dugout. He looked at his dugout. So Brady Singer gives up 8 runs. Hey, man, Brady, you're all good in my book. I can't wait to see you coming up on Wednesday. Salvi and Isbell don't get it done with runners in scoring position. Man, Izzy, I've been so impressed with your season so far. And Salvi, you've built up enough equity that I can move on from your 1-for-3 with runners in scoring position kind of night. So what happened between the white lines didn't bother me tonight, but that reaction from the Royals fans, somewhat surprising. You let me know where I'm wrong on that one. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Will, who's leaving the stadium as well. Will, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Will here, second time, long time. I got to say, it's hard to disagree with you to be mad at Brady. I mean, even the greats are allowed an off night, and he was facing a hell of a lineup there with the Braves. I just got to say, offensively, I'm tired of silver linings. We had our opportunities tonight, and we just failed to come through. And I've just been watching all this losing baseball over the past 6 years, and it's weighing on me. But you know what? That's the beauty of baseball. We get to wake up tomorrow. We got another game at 3:10 with the Boober on the mound. So why don't we go out there and steal one against the Braves? What do you say, Vern? Thanks for taking my call. Have a good one.
Got to do it. Got to do it at least once this weekend. Bubich going tomorrow. Zach Greinke on Sunday afternoon. No reason to think the Royals won't get one. I'm still taking aim at a series victory. Well, big picture, I just want a 500 homestand. 2 more with Atlanta and then 3 with the Texas Rangers starting on Monday night. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Justin leaving the stadium after a 10-3 Royals loss. Justin, you're on 610 Sports Radio, or at least you were.
I'm here.
Let's go to... Oh, you are? Okay, I thought we had a dial tone there. Justin, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it came through to me too. I'm not sure what that was about, Vern, but yeah. I was out there my first trip out to the K this year. It was a good time, minus the score, of course. And yeah. I just want to say I was proud of Brady Singer and the effort that he gave there. Yeah, it was a tough start to the game, facing one of the best offenses in baseball. Gives up 7 runs early, but still bulldogs down like he's known to do. Gets 9 Ks, goes 5 innings, looks very solid throughout it. So I really appreciated the effort that he gave and saving the bullpen. As offensively, yeah, they had some struggles, but they had their opportunities. That happens. Part of baseball. You know, I'm a little disappointed to see, you know, I know Michael Matthews' bat hasn't been there yet and it's still got to develop, but it needs to start coming around a little bit. He had a couple opportunities there to come up and maybe get a decent hit or two, or just, you know, move runners around a little bit, and he's just not quite there yet with the bat. His defense is great, but we just need a little bit more out of him, I think. But overall, I still feel pretty positive about this. Braves are a great team, and I'm looking forward to seeing Bubich tomorrow going out there. And like you said, after his last start, Vern, when he did a great job, this is going to be a huge test for him. He needs to stare down an offense like the Braves and continue to develop and take that next step in his development, man. I'm looking forward to seeing it tomorrow. I'll be out there again, hopefully weather permitting.
No doubt. Appreciate the phone call. Great phone call. Had a terrific conversation earlier today inside the Royals Clubhouse with Chris Bubich. I'll get in depth what we talked about, why I apologized, his response to my apology. I'll get into all of that tomorrow on the On Deck Show, which begins at 2 o'clock, live from Craft and Draft. First pitch tomorrow, Chris Bubich, opposite the right-hander, Bryce Elder. 3:10 for the first pitch. Again, I'll be on the air beginning at 2 o'clock. And I'll have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see Lorenzo Cain return home for his retirement ceremony. Saturday, May 6th, I got a pair of tickets to the game. You can win them tomorrow on the On Deck Show beginning at 2 o'clock. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. As Justin mentioned, Brady Singer, yes, 8 runs on 10 hits in 5 innings. He did not walk a batter, and he struck out 8. And you start to look at those first 2 innings. 4 runs come in to score in the first, 3 more in the second. It can best be described as when raiding the zone goes wrong. Because if you look at the home run to Matt Olson in the first, that was a sinker that came back to the middle of the plate. The home run to Austin Riley was a slider center of the plate. A fat changeup to the 9-hitter in the second inning turns into a 448-foot home run. The 9-hitter goes by Sam Hilliard. A slider in the middle of the plate to Sean Murphy is a 2-run double in the second inning. A slider up in the zone to Sean Murphy travels 436 feet. The final run allowed by Brady Singer, no doubter to center field. Yeah, really, that top 4, 5, 6 in that Braves lineup is nothing to mess with. And, you know, offensively, yeah, I understand. Going back to what Will said, that you've seen so much losing, that looking for the silver linings from the offense gets tedious at times. I understand that. But when I look at those opportunities that the Royals had to capitalize in the first, in the third, and in the fifth, where the Royals leave a grand total of 6 men on base. You know, you look at the first inning and it's Salvi and Isbell unable to come through. Isbell's had such a nice season. And he's not one of the guys that I put that type of burden on. If you were listening to the show on the last homestand, I lost my mind after one of those Blue Jay games, when both Bobby and MJ, time in and time out, did not come through with runners in scoring position. I think they combined to go 0-for-5 or 0-for-4, something like that. And I lost my mind on the postgame show. Because those guys do have that burden on their shoulders. When everything else is going wrong, there are a few players on this team that I'm going to hold to a higher standard. Brady Singer, Salvador Perez, MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino. When it's a tight game, a nip and tuck game, those are the guys that I expect to rise above and execute when the pressure's at its highest. First of all, wasn't really a close game. And secondly, MJ had more positives than negatives in my mind. 2 more strikeouts tonight, both against left-handers, but on base 3 times. Bobby's positives outweighed his negatives. You look at Edward Olivares and Kyle Isbell as they combine to go 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Those aren't guys that I hold to a higher standard. Those aren't guys that I say, you need to lead us to victory. Now they will over the course of 162. But I just have a tough time being disappointed in this offense because what I've seen from MJ, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi over the first 14 games, it's gotten progressively better. And as they continue to loosen up, as they continue to ease into the season, I think they'll get to the type of production that you and I expect them to finish this season with. And listen, text line, I do hold Brady Singer to a higher standard, but I don't hold him to a perfection standard. Now, last year, he had a game where he gave up 7 runs. Had a game where he gave up 6 runs. So even in that breakout season of 2022, there were still a few clunkers in there. Furthermore, 7 runs allowed in the first 2 innings, and he still goes 3 more innings on a grand total of 30 pitches. That kind of stuff is recognized inside the clubhouse and appreciated inside the clubhouse. Thanks for the phone call. Lines are open for you. The number, the text line number, they're the same. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Jeff in Kansas City. Jeff, you're on the postgame show following a 10-3 Royals loss.
Good to talk to you. You know, and I appreciate your perspective. You know, I was one of the 20,186 that was out there with my family. First time I've been out there this season. And you know what? I'm glad that you pointed out that we should appreciate that Ronald Acuña did what he did, because I was one of those people who was very unhappy about it. You know, I was making point how professional our players were taking it, even though they were getting it handed to them, and how that, you know, Brady was fighting in there and didn't give up, and that's pretty commendable, and that I thought our bullpen. I mean, this honestly makes me want to go back. I mean, I've been kind of disillusioned by some things over the last year or so, but the bullpen did a really good job, and I think that they did a stellar job of keeping us in the game and not letting it get completely away. It's obvious that the other team did a lot of research on Brady, and he had the ball going up on him quite a bit, and that's the reason why they were hitting him. I mean, I could tell. I spent as much time at the concession line as I did watching the game, and I was watching it on the monitors. But like I said, I'm glad that you pointed out that we should appreciate Ronald Acuña doing what he did. I thought that was unprofessional. I still kind of think it is. But at the same time, I guess I am an old fuddy-duddy, and maybe I shouldn't go to the game, or I shouldn't take my family there.
No, but, I mean, I didn't say any of that, and I didn't say you need to appreciate it.
But the thing is, you know what? The good thing is, maybe if he rubbed their nose in it, or maybe they just think it's cool for him to do that, maybe he rubbed their nose in it enough that they'll have a little more fight tomorrow. But our guys didn't give up, and I thought they were professional, and I thought they played a good game in spite of the fact that they were getting pounded.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I thought the Royals did show a lot of fight. And again, guys, don't get it misconstrued. I'm not saying you need to appreciate. You can do whatever you want, first of all. You don't need to appreciate what Ronald Acuña Jr. did. I'm just saying the whole booing him just seems as if we're going to talk out of both sides of our mouth. Oh, how dare you do that? But if the roles were reversed and MJ or Bobby or Vinny, I think you'd eat it up. It's just kind of whack. I thought we were in a different place as baseball fans. I thought we liked the entertainment. I thought we liked the antics. And again, I didn't think Acuña was showing anybody up. I don't know. The fans' reaction to Acuña's home run, The booing him when he does the stutter step around third base. To me, you're either telling on yourself that you're not paying attention to baseball and you don't know who Ronald Acuña is, or you just don't like fun. I understand it's at the expense of your team. I get it. But when the Royals are winning, when the Royals are just few months removed, just a year plus removed from their world title, and MJ and Bobby, and they got their little thing, I have a feeling you won't be booing when MJ Melendez is stunting around third base. Royals lose 10-3. The record falls to 4-10. Hey, did you guys see Andy Reid in the building tonight? How about that? Seeing Big Red at the K. All right, let's go to Charles in Kansas City. Charles, you're on 610 Sports Radio following a 7-run loss for the boys in blue. Go ahead.
I got two things to say. Nick Prado, he should be starting over Franmil Reyes any day. And also, our bullpen is terrible. It's usually not this bad. And I'm never going to go to another Royals game again. They're so bad. But thanks for having me on, Vern.
All right. Yeah. What? Yeah. Is there a reason to follow up? See, I don't want to be disrespectful, but what has Nick Prado done to make you say that man, give him those at bats? That would be my question. You know, what have you seen from Nick Prado, whether it's here in the big leagues or this season in Omaha? What's he done? Just a simple question. And then the bullpen. Yeah, I don't. The bullpen's the reason you're never going to come to another game? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think you're a liar. I think you were just saying that on the radio to impress your friends. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think you were just doing that for 610 Sports Radio clout. Royals lose 10-3. We'll hear from Brady Singer. We'll hear from Bobby Witt. But I want to continue to hear from you. To me, man, I'm in a good mood still. Yes, it stinks that they lost. Yes, it stinks that the game has really been over since the fifth inning. Right, once the Royals didn't capitalize on bases loaded, one out, down 8-3, bases juiced, Edward Olivares at the dish, grounds into a 5-3 inning-ending double play. Well, once that happened, the game was all but wrapped up. But I just got nothing to frown about. Oh, what? Mad at Brady Singer? Going to be angry that Salvador Perez didn't put the offense on his back and come through every time he stepped to the dish with runners in scoring position? No. No, man, I'm flush it, move on. Bob Seger say, turn the page. That's where I'm at. Quick timeout. We'll head inside the Rose Clubhouse and get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
10-3, the final score. Royals drop game one of this three-game series against the Braves and the opener of this six-game homestand. We'll hear from Brady Singer coming up in just a moment after he suffers his first loss of the season, giving up 8 runs in 5 innings, struck out 8 as well. Phone number, the text line number is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Charles in Kansas City. You're on 610 Sports Radio following the 10-3 loss as the boys fall to 4-10. Let's go to Eric in Overland Park. Eric, you're next up on the postgame show.
Thanks a lot for taking my call. I wanted to send a little positivity out. I think that's kind of what you were looking for here tonight. And, you know, as far as you mentioned, the weather, couldn't beat it. Great night to be out at the park. I know I feel like I lucked out on that one personally because I bought these tickets a long time ago. I had a friend coming into town from Iowa, so we got to watch the game together, which was great. Also sat by a couple older fans, guys that were Braves fans, but one came in from Los Angeles. The other came in from Atlanta. They met in the middle in Kansas City and had a great time. They were really great guys to talk to. We talked baseball. We talked our city. Really got to brag up Kansas City, and it reminded me of how fortunate we are as Royals fans to have a great stadium, a great atmosphere, and a really, really good place to go for live entertainment. So even though the score wasn't what we wanted and we saw some things that probably weren't the best, I think for a fan experience, it's one of my favorite things to do, and I was feeling very fortunate for that experience tonight.
That's great to hear. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that phone call. Lines open up for you, 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 10-3 loss, brought to you by J Southland Tow Service. They're also the presenting sponsor of the text line, and the text line's always open for you. Same number. Text line number, same as the phone number, 913-586-7610. And a text here from the 913, fair question. Vern, why should we be happy with the opportunities to bring the game back and getting into scoring position Why should we be excited about just getting back into the game if we can't fulfill those opportunities? I'm not panicking. I just want to hear your reasoning. That's a fair question. I think the reason why I'm taking solace in the fact that despite being down 4-0 when they came to the dish in the first, being down 7-1 when they came to the dish in the third, being down 7-2 when they came to the plate in the fifth, and mountain chances in each one of those frames, the reason why is because on the first homestand of the season, I think the guys that passed the baton in the first, third, and fifth, MJ, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Isbell, the guys that put the team in position to be one swing away from making it a game again, those guys on the first homestand, it looked to me as if they were trying to hit 5-run home runs or win 3 games with one swing of the bat. I don't know if you want to describe it as pressing. Pressing has a negative connotation. And I don't think that these guys and their early season or a first homestand pressing came from a bad place. It came from a, I'm the guy. This is my team. Everyone's looking at me, and I'm going to be the hero right now. MJ swinging out of his shoes. Bobby Witt Jr. popping up to the shortstop. Now, Vinny hitting a hard line drive to the right fielder. Those kind of things. I think you saw a lot on the first homestand. But today, I thought the approach, I thought the body language of MJ, of Bobby, of Vinny, of Salvi, of those top four hitters was a lot more at ease than it was on that first homestand. There wasn't this attitude of, I can erase all of the negativity that has been put on this field so far in this homestand, and I can erase it with one swing. I thought you saw guys settling in, you know, a pair of infield singles from Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino still drawing his walks, Salvador Perez going to the opposite field. To me, those things don't happen if you're pressing. Or if you're rolling over, if you're saying, well, it's not in the cards tonight, boys. Well, these guys stuck with it. I thought you got very good at-bats against a very good pitcher in Charlie Morton. So that's why I take solace in the fact that even though it appeared over after the second inning, you got to admit, bases loaded, one out in the third, that could change everything. Bases loaded, one out in the fifth, you had an opportunity for the entire game to flip. I don't think the Royals would have been able to do that against the Twins, against the Blue Jays, on the first homestand of the season. Appreciate the phone call. And to the previous caller that brought up Michael Massey and his rough start to the season, no question, we can all see it. Massey hitting .128 with 15 strikeouts in 39 at-bats. We'll get back to the text line coming up in a moment. Again, the number 913-586-7610. But first, I want to hear from tonight's losing pitcher, Brady Singer. Again, 8 runs in 5 innings. He did strike out 8. Had a total of 14 swings and misses. So when he was, he was in the zone consistently. It's just, man, I went over it earlier. So many of those home runs were just center cut. And if you look at some of the exit velos in those first 2 innings, guys weren't missing. They were squaring up Brady Singer. He spoke with the media moments ago in this audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
It's really bad pitches. Kind of what it boils down to is leaving a lot of pitches, middle of the plate there, and obviously did a lot of damage.
Got a lot of strikeouts too, though. I mean, what was the difference between the ones they were hitting and,
I think just execution, really. It was later on in the game there, started to make some better pitches, and I think the strikeouts just came.
Did you feel good? I mean, you were able to at least go 5 after the way it started there?
Yeah, that was kind of the only thing I could do, was try to get deeper in the game, try to save the bullpen there.
Were you happy with, your stuff, or as opposed to location? It sounds like you're obviously the location's not where you want it, but just the stuff that you're working with, are you pleased with where you're at there?
I think the pitches were still somewhat good. It's just the location of them weren't very good. I was happy to stay in the zone there and keep competing, go right at them, with what I had tonight.
It's Brady Singer following a 10-3 loss to the Atlanta Braves. Let's go to Double J in Kansas City. Always nice to hear from you. Double J, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Vern. Just a tough loss tonight. Nothing you can really do about that. I mean, that's a really good Atlanta Braves team. Like you said, I'm not mad. Let's turn the page and got Chris Boopage on the bump tomorrow. Let's go get tomorrow and hopefully take 2 or 3 from the Braves this weekend with Greinke pitching on Sunday, too. So go Orioles and Brent, let's go get the dub tomorrow, boys. Talk to you later, phone. Appreciate you taking the call. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Always nice to hear from you. Royals fall to 4-10, drop in the opener of this 6-game homestand. All these home games on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. And a quick heads up, we're, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft? And on that historic Thursday night when the eyes of the sports world descend on Kansas City, the Royals game, Thursday the 27th, that game's going to be heard over on the FM dial. Yeah, Thursday night's On Deck show, the game, and the post-game show will all be on our sister station, Alt 96.5, just on the first night of the draft. That's it. Thursday night, April 27th, Royals game on Alt 96.5. Let's head right back inside the Royals clubhouse. Bobby Witt Jr., who had his second straight 3-hit game and his third straight multi-hit game. Let's hear what Bobby Witt Jr. had to say following a 3-for-4 performance, and though it did result in a 7-run loss. Here's Bobby Witt Jr. from Bally Sports Kansas City.
Yeah, I think just any time more games you play, you get comfortable each and every day. So I'm just kind of trying to get better day by day.
It seemed like you guys had your opportunities tonight, just couldn't come through with like a one that knocked in 2 or 3 runs at a time.
Yeah, it's just part of it. You guys got to keep competing. I think that's what we'll keep doing and just kind of keep scratching back.
What did you see from Morton?
Early, just a lot of fastballs and then a slide, like his curveball in my last at bat. So just really trying to be on time with that and then go off that.
It's tough. I mean, obviously you want to start out the road trip or the homestand on a positive note. How tough is it to come out the first couple of innings like that and get behind?
Yeah, definitely. But we see what we can do in one inning in Texas, and so we just got to keep battling, keep learning, and keep going.
Bobby, the only Royal with multiple hits tonight. MJ Melendez scored a pair of runs, second time he's done that this season. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. A lot of reaction to my opinion on your reaction to Ronald Acuna's home run there in the sixth inning. From the 913, Vern, all the Atlanta fans there made me feel like 2015 when all of us Royals fans traveled to Chicago to see the Royals play the Cubs. Yeah, I mean, I saw the red that Braves fans were wearing. It still, to me, looked predominantly Royals fans, right? I mean, I would think so. After Acuna hit that home run, it sounded pretty loud, the boos, the disappointment from Royals fans in his little celebration. I expected it, to be honest with you. Look, you guys know I'm rooting for the Royals, but if they're not going to win, I want to see great players be great. I wanted to see Acuna hit me with that little stutter step around third. Elsewhere, Rally Mantis says, if I was pitching, I would have plunked Acuna the next time. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, Rally Mantis. From the 913, Vern, you say, we want celebrations and we want players to show their personality, no doubt. But why the heck should I not boo a guy who just hit a dinger against my team? I want him to celebrate, I want him to have fun, but I'm still going to boo. And I expect other teams' crowds to boo as well. It's part of the game, Vern. Yeah, you're right, no doubt. The reason why I bring it up, because, yeah, that's a terrific point. Of course you're going to boo the opposition. Yes, I agree with that. But to me, the boos didn't start until he hit you with that stutter step. Like, you guys were offended. And I didn't get that. You know, boo him the second that ball crosses over the left field wall. Boo him then. But it just seemed like, oh my gosh. Stutter step, and you said that Jose Guas is too small? Oh my God. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Listen, that's just my opinion. It doesn't make me right. From the 816, if people don't want the opposition to celebrate a home run, well, get them out. Strike them out. From the 816, Vern, did these pitching coaches fix Chris Bubich? Did they fix Brad Keller and in the meantime break Brady Singer? Come on. No. Again, Brady Singer's going to be just fine. Which is why I'm smiling. Which is why I've already turned the page. I'm ready for Chris Bubich tomorrow. Brady's going to be fine. Salvi's going to be fine. Salvi comes through in the third. If Ollie comes through in the fifth, then I think you'd all be with me, ready to turn the page. Going, hey, Brady, don't worry about it, man. You'll get him next time. Saying that, all the while understanding that nobody's going to be harder on themselves than Brady Singer, who is the ultimate competitor. Now, you heard him. He's not making any excuses after this one. And I hope it doesn't come across like I'm making an excuse. It's just you can't get angry after every game, especially a game in which your most consistent players had an inconsistent night. It's going to happen over the course of 162, or in Singer's case, it's going to happen over the course of 30-some-odd starts. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll get back to your phone calls after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Yeah, game one goes to the Braves, 10-3, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Chris, leaving Kauffman Stadium. Chris, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Just want to talk about two things really quick. First of all, not to rehash it too much, but I, too, like, at the game, you know, when Ronald Acuna hits that home run, like, it was impressive. It was crazy impressive. But I don't want him to celebrate, you know, and I'm all for celebrating for our team, but I know that's a double standard, but it's just when you do it at our, you know, at our place, I'm not cool with it. I didn't like it. I booed.
That's but, fine.
So that's my first point. The second point, just wanted to talk about the core of the Royals. So just watching this game, it became very clear, the top of the Braves lineup is amazing. And I just, you know, our hope this year is for the Royals to kind of show their core. But sometimes when I watch these other teams, like the Braves or, you know, some other teams, you just watch their top of their lineup. It's just like, I don't know if our guys can ever get there. I know they're young, but so I just wanted to know what you thought, how we could stack up with future teams, even if our guys do develop to the best of their potential.
Yeah, Chris, man, I'm with you on that. I mean, I feel the exact same way. Because, I hope that MJ, Bobby, and Vinny can turn into I can't say that. No, I don't. I don't hope. I mean, I do hope, but I'm not expecting that or sitting around waiting for it. You know, Bobby's an all-world talent just like Ronald Acuna Jr., sure. I mean, Austin Riley looks like he was built in a lab. Matt Olson's so freaking good, the Braves went, hey, Freddie, we're good without you. We're going to pay this dude. Yeah, but shoot. I don't know if there's a 1-2-3. Well, yeah, no. Maybe Philadelphia. You know, Nah, I don't know. That might be the best 1-2-3 in all of Major League Baseball. But I believe that Atlanta's playing I hate to give people an excuse like this, but 14 of the league's 30 teams are spending north of $200 million. Almost half of baseball spending almost double what the Royals are spending. You know, and Atlanta's one of those teams. So, yeah, listen, you want Royals ownership to spend another $100 million? Yeah, me too. Go do it. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think you have an evaluation season like it appears 2023 is for the Royals. I don't think you pluck from the Tampa tree and the Cleveland tree if your ultimate plan is to pay everybody, to spend big. Atlanta's taking care of all their guys. You get a contract, you get an extension, you get 8 years, you get 11 years. I don't see the Royals doing that. So, no, I don't view Atlanta as the model. I mean, the models are in front of you with Cleveland, with Tampa. You got to win in the margins. You got to win trades. You got to draft well. You need to fleece a few teams when it comes to trades. It's not easy. Not easy to do what the Royals are hopefully in the process of doing. Yeah, and you hope that Bobby or MJ, Vinny, Brady, you hope that these guys are compensated and extended and stay here for a long time. But I think we all acknowledge that following this season, you got at least four more with Bobby. Four more with MJ. And you got another three with Brady. And clock's ticking. In Atlanta, I don't know if they feel like clock's ticking. They should, because the clock's ticking on all of us, but it's a different clock, right? Those hands move a little bit quicker here in Kansas City. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. Wow, everybody, way to go tonight, staying locked in, even though we didn't get the W.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, great calls tonight. I love the enthusiasm. You could just almost feel it, Vern, even through the
game's
fans.
Been over since the second inning to some, Big T, and they're still here calling up, man. You're right.
I love it. I love it. Keep up the great job, Kansas City. But yeah, Vern, I echo you. Even the outs tonight were loud, baby.
Wow.
That team, they can swing that bat. And you know, everybody, they celebrate in football, college basketball, NBA, soccer. You see them sliding and hooting it up. Get aboard. Baseball, we love that. It's the game. It's the passion of the game. We want to see that. And I'm the oldest fuddy-duddy here. But keep up the great work with all the calls. We did have some opportunities tonight. We had the bases loaded a couple times. So it could have turned, but great job. We get them tomorrow. And you know what's great about tomorrow? There is another game, depending on the weather, but it's Jackie Robinson Day, everybody. Yeah. We got Chris Bubich on the hill. Woo, I'm excited about Chris Bubich. I think he's going to be on Atlanta. And how about we go out and get the dub tomorrow for all the home fans out there. Great job showing up every night, everybody. And let's go get that dub tomorrow. And as always, let's go Royals.
I'll tell you this, Big T, pertaining to Chris Bubich tomorrow. If he is indeed following the Brady Singer path, right? He's about a year younger than Brady. I know they were both drafted in 2018. Yeah, you know what? Maybe this isn't fair. I was going to bring up just how often last season, following a loss, Brady Singer would climb the hill to face the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Rays or the Guardians, and he would shove it up their tailpipe. He'd go out there and throw seven strong. You know, going through Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Trey Turner. And it was those type of games where up here in the press box, and I'm sure wherever you're watching the game, out in the stands or at home, you'd go, oh my, okay. Maybe this Brady Singer guy is different. Maybe this guy can lead our rotation moving forward. You know, that's the opportunity that's going to present itself tomorrow to Chris Bubich. No doubt what he did in San Francisco was fantastic. But you come out tomorrow, the yeah buts that some Royals fans, that some baseball fans might be quick to chirp, might be quick to respond with a yeah but, Chris Bubich goes out and performs well tomorrow, those yeah buts will be few and far between. It'll just be a tip of the cap to Chris Bubich. And when does he pitch again? When do we get to watch him again? All of a sudden, you know what, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I'm excited for Chris Bubich too tomorrow. Big T, I'm with you on that one, buddy. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're on the postgame show. What do you got?
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, listen, I enjoyed that. You know, we had a baseball, we couldn't get that crutch shit when you do. Yeah, Bubich, he'll pitch good tomorrow. I've been enjoying the season so far. It was fun watching the 1973 team on opening day. Kiki Rojas still looks pretty good as AJ Namath told us what a player he was. When he first started, Josh, with the Royals, some Royals fans didn't think he was playing hard enough, but I thought he was playing hard enough for me, you know, and he saved those kids from the Plaza Flood. Remember 1977, you know, when they brought him to the house to spend the night and then they took him home the next day. So let's take care of the Braves tomorrow with Bubich. Take care of yourself, Josh.
Yeah, do it for AO. How about it? Thanks for the phone call, Dan. Joey in Grain Valley's impressed with the positive phone calls tonight. I'm with you, Joey. Let me run through a few of these text messages real quick. The J Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7610. From the 913, hey, Vern, position players 6 through 9, they're not big leaguers. That's why the Royals are truly a last-place team. The owner will not pay for quality players, and he wants a new stadium. Okay. All right, so you and I are in different places tonight. I'm ready to turn the page. You want to burn it all down. Hey, to each his own. My guy, Big Mike from the Diamond Club. Man, I wish we had time for one more. Mike writes in, Vern, this team is way too vanilla for as young as they are. Is it the manager, or do we just throw at people and get in fights? Are we just never going to do that again? Where's the spark? Interesting. Well, I'll tell you this. It's not the manager. Matt Cotrero is not stunting or silencing the personality, the exuberance of these ball players. I mean, I swear every time they draw a walk, they bat flip. I don't know if that's a thing. I saw them, they've been throwing up the peace sign after you get an extra base hit. That's been nice. Bobby's not a flashy guy. Vinny on the field, he's not a flashy person. He's a terrific personality. Yeah, MJ's got some flash. Edward Olivares, sure. I kind of think it's the group. You know, Michael Massey in the best way possible. To me, Michael Massey's just a dirtbag, a guy that would just play baseball all day, every day if he could. Same with Bobby Witt Jr. They are a little vanilla. That's true. I'm not going to disagree with that. You think of their starters, Greinke's not giving you much. Singer's pretty stone-faced out there. You know, Chris Bubich is all heart. Yeah, Jordan Lyles is a cagey vet. Brad Keller's pretty steady. Yeah, you don't have much. You don't have many bombastic players inside that clubhouse. And as far as a fight, I don't know. I don't know who's that guy. There's a lot of guys I wouldn't want to fight, but I don't know if there's any guys that are ready to start something at the drop of a hat. You know Amir Garrett will, if needed. That's always burning inside of him. You know, Salvi's not going to take disrespect. You can't disrespect Salvi, but I don't think he felt disrespected by Ronald Acuna, his countryman. That's an interesting point. Thanks for the text, Mike. From the 913, Vern, Ronald Acuna is an ass, and he's disrespecting the game. Alex writes in, Vern, I knew this was going to be a tough series anyway. The Braves are real contenders, and we're just trying to see what we got in Kansas City. A couple more hits tonight in key spots, and we could have made this interesting. I'm not concerned. Signed, Alex. Yeah, you're right. And look, I didn't see the top of the lineup pressing. I saw them passing the baton, keeping the line moving, as we used to say. That's what they weren't doing on the first homestand. So the fact that they were down by four in the first inning, down by six in the second inning, and continued to put together selfless at-bats, I have a tough time getting agitated with the offense. And then, of course, Brady Singer, who I think it's fair to lay the loss at his feet tonight. In my mind, he's built up enough equity that, you know what, I'm not even going to lay the loss at his feet. I'm just going to throw that loss in the trash and go, Brady, we'll see you next time. Not even worried about it, big dog. From the 816, Vern, look at the bright side. Brady Singer had eight strikeouts. Yeah, he sure did. Honestly, it seemed like he either got tagged by the Braves bats or he made them look silly. He struck out eight and, what, five of them with the slider? John writes in and says, Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to ruin the Royals this year. You just watch. Get ready to get swept by the Padres, bud. Where the hell's that come from? John, what the hell are you talking about? Who cares about the Padres? Why'd I read that? I don't know. Raj in the Ozarks writes in, Vern, how are they pitching Vinny tonight? Was Atlanta throwing at him? Did they figure out his Achilles heel? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, he smoked a ball to the right side in the first inning, drew a walk in the third, hit one hard to center field in the fifth, and had an exit velo of about 98 miles per hour on his line drive to center in the seventh. Now, I think, again, the results may not have been what Vinny wanted offensively, but I think the process is right. I think the exit velo, I think he's still squaring it up, still getting barrels. I don't think so, Raj. I think Vinny's a 300 hitter. I think Vinny's sensational. Now, they'll always adjust, but I don't know if there's anybody in that clubhouse that enjoys the cat-and-mouse game of pitcher v. hitter more than Vinny Pasquantino. I mean, I remember him telling Steve Stewart a few weeks ago just how much he was anticipating or anxious for pitchers to make their first adjustment so he could recognize it and quickly adjust back. Pasquantino tonight goes 0-for-3 with a walk, but still leads this team with a 919 OPS. Vinny's batting average sitting at 273. Few more from the text line. From the 918, Vern, Bobby Witt Jr. is not a leadoff hitter. Look up his stats. He's a lot more effective and comfortable in the 2-4 holes. Okay, fine. To me, I just don't think the sample size is large enough to say that Bobby Witt Jr. is or isn't anything. Guy's played a year and a month. Hasn't turned 23 yet. Let's not baby him. Oh, he can't handle it. He can handle it. And let's say you're right. I just don't think there's enough evidence to prove anything one way or the other. But I appreciate you listening. And finally, from the 660, Vern, I'm hoping the barbecue stand is here to stay. I had some craft barbecue at the K today, and it was awesome. Yeah, you know what? I'm with you. I don't know if there's been anything at Kauffman Stadium in 2023 that has been brought up to me more than that smell outside of Gate D. The barbecue smell, which I can't believe that every stadium in this area doesn't have a barbecue smell throughout. I mean, that is Kansas City. I can't believe it's taken Kauffman Stadium so long to have barbecue permeating throughout the concourse. So yeah, I'm with you. I hope it stays as well. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Vinny Pasquantino, by the way, has now reached base safely in 31 of his last 33 starts. He'll look to make it 32 and 34 tomorrow when Chris Bubich takes the hill in game two of this three-game series against the Atlanta Braves. Chris Bubich squaring off with the right-hander Bryce Elder. I'll be on the air beginning at 2 o'clock live from Craft and Draft, giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Lorenzo Cain return home for his retirement ceremony. It's a 3:10 first pitch. Again, the on-deck show begins at 2 o'clock. Thanks to Julio Sanchez for the help back at the studio. Thanks to all of you. Way to go, Royals fans. 20,000 at the park, staying dialed into the post-game show, calling me up in the third segment. Man, I hope you guys didn't get offended by my disappointment in the Acuna thing.
You've been listening to Vern's post-game show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.